Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
86 Productions.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Off the Mark, reminding you that we are your only hookup. Holla, if you hear me. I'm Andrew, he's Aaron. Desmond Wolf and TNA Impact Wrestling are parting ways. What's going on with this, Aaron? I'm surprised.
Well, I mean, Desmond Wolf hasn't been on TV in how long now? Apparently he was not well-liked backstage. Him and management had some issues, so they decided to finally let him go.
I'm surprised.
It's unfortunate, you know.
Yeah,
because I like...
Yeah, I dug him a lot. I mean, he did a great job. I thought that I was very surprised in how well he did with Impact Wrestling or TNA, whatever you want to call it. I'm just surprised that he left. I'm still in shock about this. But, you know, maybe he had too much of an ego.
I think that he's somebody that you could have built the company around.
Oh, yeah.
I really do. I think that you have somebody, a talent like him and Samoa Joe and AJ Styles. I think that he is, you know, your third or fourth guy. And so I'm surprised by this, but maybe it's one of those things they just let him go for now. Mm-hmm. Maybe he'll come back in a year and he'll be more mature and he'll help out the company.
Unlike Low Key. So, but Austin Aries, by the way, I think is a great guy. I think he has a good look. He'd wrestle, which is great. And I think that's someone you could build a company around. And, you know, I hope they do something with him. I think he's a good wrestler. So
I did. I hope so too.
Unlike Matt Hardy, who has been suspended for tardiness. And now he's coming out saying, well, not really. it keeps changing. Like, one minute it's because of this, and it's because of this, then he's not suspended, then he is. It's like, who do you believe in this story? It's getting really annoying. He just should come out and say, this is what's going on.
Look, he was suspended for something, all right? It probably was tardiness. I mean, they were saying that he was showing up to events really late, and it's one of those things where back in the day at WCW, Hogan would do it, you know, Bischoff and Nash and all of them would do it, but nowadays, you can't do that. You just can't pull that stuff. You can't. And Matt Hardy, especially Matt Hardy, I mean, nothing against him, because I think that he could be a, you know, heavyweight champion there. But he's right now an upper mid card. You know, mm-hmm. He is not the champion. So you can't do that. And if anything else, this actually might be good for him, because having him off TV, when he comes back, he's going to make a big impact. No pun intended.
And speaking of Impact, they're actually going to replay on the Impact Wrestling from Thursday night on Tuesdays, which is kind of neat. So if you missed the first part of, you know, the first show on Thursday, you can actually watch the replay or catch it on Tuesdays, which, by the way, is finally genius, because WCW Nitro used to do this all the time. They'd run Nitro for 2 or 3 hours, have something in between, and then replay it. And Raw used to do the same thing as well. I'm glad that Impact is at least doing it on a different night, but it would kind of be nice if they did it late on Thursdays. But, you know, that's just my opinion.
Honestly, I think that this is a good idea, because there are some people that have to watch it live. Not everyone has a DVR. The vast majority of people do. Mm-hmm. But the more often you have it on, the more often it's going to be caught. The more people are going to see it. So, you know, yeah, maybe 2 million people – I'm sorry, maybe 1 million people see it back on Thursdays. 1 million, too. You might get, like, you know, 700,000 might see it on Tuesday. And they might actually – the other thing, too, is you might get more people into it. I think this is a good idea, very good for not only TNA, but also the sport of wrestling.
Also, don't they do Reaction? Is that the other show that they do?
They don't do that anymore. They okay. did that for a little while. I actually enjoyed it. I thought we would do a segment on it sometime, but they ended it, you know, after maybe doing 10 episodes.
Nah, that's ridiculous. I like the recap shows. And that's one thing that I will say that I wish the WWE would do. I wish they would have, like, a Saturday night show that, you know, maybe got...
Raw AM, you know, WWE AM or whatever it's called.
Do they run SmackDown stuff? Or I thought it was just Raw.
It might just be Raw.
Because I thought they made it so it was too... Oh, that's right, because then they tamed it down to a PG product, is what I remember them saying. So they wouldn't have to do anything since they're already PG. Of course, you know, drinking beer and... giving your boss the finger is PG as well. So anyway, yeah. So the Ultimate Warrior has lost it. I sat through his, I think, 8 or 9 part segment of him like bashing Hogan and saying all this stuff. And what really made me think about it, he made himself so much bigger, like, oh, I was the best. And, you know, I did not say after 1 or 5 minutes, whatever it is, let's go home, let's go home. He's like, I never said that, which is BS, because I actually watched that match again for WrestleMania 6 that Hogan was referring to about the fact that he was blown up after just a couple of minutes. You can tell that something is said between the two and Hogan says something back and the match continues. So something was said, and so Warrior's lying. So if he's lying about that, what else is he lying about, everything that he's said about Hogan and the fact that he's attacking him personally? Is he just trying to get back in the spotlight? Or, I mean, what is he really trying to accomplish from this?
He wants to get back in the spotlight. I mean, and, you know, it's one of those things where I don't even want to talk about him because we're giving him publicity, and I hate having to do that.
Okay.
You know, the 10 people that listen to the show. But, you know.
No more. We're not going to give him any more publicity. I'll just flat out say I think he has completely lost it, and now I have to say that I think he's also a liar. So we'll just leave it at that. Anyway, so let's talk to someone who isn't. Paul Heyman. And I'm mad because I forgot to watch this, but he actually discussed how he'd run TNA. Aaron, what happened here? I completely missed this. This is my bad. I'm mad now.
I sent you the video.
I know
too.
You sent me it. You also sent me another video a couple days ago from the league, but that's beside the point. So
well, okay. So here's the thing. Paul Heyman was talking about what he would do when he came into TNA, and I got to say, first things first, he was very professional with the way he was talking, because he wasn't like, oh, I would get rid of Hogan immediately. I would get rid of him. I'd get rid of Flair. He wasn't like that at all. He said that what he would do is that TNA has some of the best wrestlers with AJ Styles and Beer Money and Motor City Machine Guns. And he was talking about how they're just, you know, the top tier of wrestlers, not even of, you know, for TNA, but wrestlers in general. But he was saying that they really need to focus on these younger wrestlers, and that while the old wrestlers are, you know, great, look at a wrestler like AJ Styles, who is in his prime right now, and you look at the matches he's having, and you say, you know what? He's going to have even better matches a year or two down the road. You look at somebody like Motor City Machine Guns, and you say, you know what? They're having amazing matches now. 5 years down the road, they're going to have even better matches. I cannot wait to watch these people grow as a team. And he's saying the problem with people over 40, you see Hogan, and it's like, look, his best years are behind him. 20 years ago, all right? Let's face it. They are long gone. Long gone. So he was saying that he would get rid of everybody over 40 except one person. And he said it doesn't matter who it is. It could be Hogan. It could be Flair. It could be, you know, if Nash was still there, or Tommy Dreamer, or Foley. It didn't matter who it was. But you leave that one person there because that way it's special. You know, like that legend being there is special. And he can help mentor these people. I do disagree with him. I would get rid of more of the older people. Like the Nasty Boys had no business being in TNA at all. At all. But he really had some constructive criticism. And I really, if you have a chance to, go and find Paul Heyman discussing TNA. It's about 5 minutes long, 6 minutes long. Mm-hmm. It's short, but it's worth a listen to.
Yeah, unlike the Ultimate Warrior stuff. One thing I also wanted to, I can't wait to listen to this. It's going to be a great listen. I'm looking forward to it. One thing that I wanted to really, really quick, I forgot about this, but Scott Hall is actually going to jail for 10 days.
He needs to go to rehab.
Exactly.
He needs to get his life together.
And he does. And the fact that he's selling stuff off, I'm sorry, but some of that stuff has to have some sentimental value. The NWO stuff. I know he's well, I'm not doing anything with it. No, he's doing it because he needs the money. Everyone knows that. So
yeah.
Anyway, so let's go on to Capital Punishment. Before we start talking about it, Aaron, what do you think your overall view on the entire pay-per-view was? Was it good? Was it bad? Was it okay?
It was another pay-per-view. And I think that's the problem, is that there was nothing in this pay-per-view that I went, wow, this is special. Like, there's something big going on here. And it was nice to see, you know, like R-Truth main event a pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's big. I don't think he's main event a pay-per-view since TNA. And I don't even know if he even did there. I'm assuming he did, but I don't know for a fact.
Wasn't he the champion TNA for a while?
He was the NWA champion. Okay. When TNA was with NWA. But, you know, it's one of those things. So it was nice to see that. But, you know, like the first match, the opening match, we saw Dolph Ziggler. Mm-hmm. He won the U.S. title. We pretty much predicted that this was going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't think that this was a big surprise.
I'm kind of disappointed that he won. I don't know.
Does he have to have a title on him at all times?
Kofi?
Does Ziggler? Because it seems like...
I think both guys need a title. That's the thing. Like, when Kofi came out without the title, it's kind of like when John Cena didn't have the title for, you know, like 6 months. And he comes out, and it's just like, where's the belt? And you're like, oh, he doesn't have it. Or when he had the World Heavyweight Championship, opposed to the WWE one, it was like, that belt doesn't look right around him. He needs the spinner on him. You know, it's just one of those things. I just think him and Kofi both, when they don't have belts, they look funny to me.
But Ziggler always has a belt on him. Like, he had the IC title for the longest time. He then had the World Heavyweight Championship for a day. Now he has the U.S. title. I mean, he always has a title on him, it seems. And, mm-hmm. I mean, he doesn't... I don't know. He doesn't need one. Why not put him in a storyline that's better than just him always going for the gold? I mean, are they that inept?
I think I have an idea what they're going to do. I think it's going to end up being Evan Bourne's going to fight him. I think him and Evan Bourne will have a feud after Bourne and Swagger's feud is done. I think you'll see Evan Bourne get involved because those guys will wrestle really good together because of the way if Evan Bourne wrestles, he wrestles a weird way. And I think it's the correct way that you want to perform in the ring. So, and you know, like when you take a devastating move, you are completely limp and can't move. I mean, that's Evan Bourne, his psychology in the ring is awesome. So anyways, let's go on to Ezekiel Jackson versus Wade Barrett. And Ezekiel won the IC title, which I was kind of shocked why he did, because I didn't expect this.
I don't think that he's that good of a champion. And I say that he's held the title for a week now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that he's not that big of a draw. And I know that they're trying to push him, but I just don't see him as being a world heavyweight champion. I don't see it. And maybe he will, and maybe I'll eat crow. I mean, I said that about Gunner, you know, but I don't see him as being a really like big champion. Leave him at the mid-card level and help him bring up some other guys. That's what I think.
Yeah, I don't see him as a heavy. I just don't see him with the championship belt. I think they did it because he kind of deserved it. Some of the, you know, it's kind of like, you know, it's ending the core is what I look at it. It's just ending the core.
It really was.
And now Wade Barrett can move on to something else. But who's Ezekiel going to go wrestle now? I mean, what heel is he going to go after? That's where I'm confused.
And I agree with you there. I think that if you possibly put him in with maybe the Daniel Bryan, Sin Cara, you know, Ted DiBiase.
They're just there.
Mix. You know, like you could throw him in there, though, with it. And I mean, maybe throw in another person. Maybe have Wade Barrett in there. Maybe have a six person, you know, like kind of feud. Not necessarily.
Did they just do that last week on SmackDown, though?
They did. I've seen like a six tier, you know, going for the title. I mean, maybe you could do that. But I the only reason I even put this on there is I want to point something out. Michael Cole, sometimes, while I dislike him as a commentator, I love when he points out the obvious. Wade Barrett is from Great Britain. He's English. Ezekiel Jackson is South American. And so during the match that they had, the crowd was chanting USA. And I was like, why are they chanting that, right? And so Michael Cole even points that out, and I'm like, thank you, you know? Thank you so much for pointing that out.
Oh, good, but anyway, good old Michael Cole.
So CM Punk, he got a win, and that was his first pay-per-view win since April of 2010.
Unbelievable. I can't believe that, and the fact that, you know, he won kind of weird, and, you know, I'm glad to see that he won. It's great that he won. But everyone knows his contract is going to expire soon, so it's like, well, are they doing this to be nice so he comes back or he re-signs? Who knows? Maybe he goes back. You never know. So, anyway, so Christian cannot catch a break. He keeps losing. Every pay-per-view he loses. I don't know what to think of it anymore. I mean, why even have him wrestle for the heavyweight championship? I mean, are they just, they don't have any heels or what? I mean, come on. Have someone else in the mix. Put on,
I feel the same way. I think that this is going to get old real quick, you know? That's my feeling on it.
Yeah, they're just beating a dead horse. But one thing I will say, I thought it was a really good match. Cena came out, and he actually pinned R-Truth in a great match. R-Truth, you know, took the attitude adjustment, the double A, and 1-2-3.
Yeah.
Good match. It was a short match, though. It was very short for... because they had to have a Brock come out, and they actually had Swagger versus Bourne in the pay-per-view, and Swagger, of course, you know, Bourne won with the roll-up, which was kind of another reason. Like, I was like, why is this match here? And then why is Brock talking? Why did they cut? Because they cut that match short. I mean, the pay-per-view is only like 2 hours and 50 minutes. So, anyway, so let's get out of the pay-per-view and go on to Raw. Guess what happened? They could not tally up the votes properly at all. In fact, I found out that the votes that I was sending in, apparently I wanted Mason Ryan to wrestle. Unbelievable. I was not happy about that.
So basically what was happening was you were sending in A, B, or C, and they didn't have a cutoff time. Basically what was happening was that there was an overflow, and so Sin Cara was supposed to face Evan Bourne, but instead B was for Kelly Kelly for the first match, and so all the Bs transferred over, or people were still voting, or something happened, so it just moved over. So, obviously there was an error there, and I think the text message didn't work. So I want to know what your thoughts are on the viewer's choice.
Well, who would have won the Divas match? Would it have been definitely a title change then? If for some reason, what if people weren't voting for Kelly Kelly? They were voting for who was the other one? Beth Phoenix or I can't remember who the other one was. But I was wondering, what if Kelly Kelly didn't win? Who would actually, you know what I mean? Like, would that person win the belt though? Was it like they put the three girls out there? Like, listen, one of the three of you are going to win the heavyweight or the Divas Championship. I mean,
I don't know.
That's the one thing I was trying to figure out because the title changed hands. I don't know. And then, so the viewer's choice, realistically, they did it completely wrong, and it just was horrible.
It should have been online. It should have been online Sunday night, and they should have given you all the options, and that's what they should have done.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that they wanted to make you watch the show because a lot of us just DVR it, and so we weren't able to participate. But still, that's what I would have done.
I participated.
So let's go on to the biggest news. CM Punk is the new number one contender, and he went on record to say that his contract expires the night of the pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to be in Chicago.
Yeah, his hometown.
Yep. That's kind of
what
a weird.
What do you think?
It's a weird way of going out because he can leave if he wants or he can stay. But the thing is, I follow him on Twitter and I keep looking at some of the tweets that he puts out there. I think he's going back to Ring of Honor. I think he's actually going to be done with the WWE and not come back for a long time.
Maybe. I mean, he's on the road 300 days out of the year. You know, I mean, he's constantly wrestling and constantly training. And, you know, look, we mock him sometimes and sometimes we you know, really kind of get down on some of them. But, you know, they work their butts off.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that wouldn't be the lifestyle I would want to have. I could not be a professional wrestler. I could for TNA maybe, but I couldn't for WWE.
Right.
There's no way. No possible way. So I don't know.
You see, that's the thing. If he went to Ring of Honor, he would work a limited amount of dates. I think they have 2 dates a month, right? So you're thinking at most he's on the road a couple times a month. Well, here's the thing is he could ride with Colt Cabana. Colt Cabana hits a bunch of places that are near the Chicago area. So like he goes up to Pontiac, Michigan for the Juggalo wrestling stuff. And I don't know. I see that CM Punk would actually do that. Would actually take time off and hit the indies again and then maybe come back in a couple of years. So anyway, so Christian loses to Cena. Huh.
Did you like the ending to this? It was a 3-on-3 match, and it ended up being Christian versus Cena, but it was a quick Cena, you know, goes and AAs Christian after, or I'm sorry, he doesn't AA Christian. He gets an RKO, and then he gets pinned.
Yeah, it was. I don't know, dude. I've been trying to figure this out, why you would have something like this, and I don't know, dude. Every time I was trying to figure out what their plan is. Like, at least TNA has somewhat of a plan. What is the plan for this? Because I don't see it. I don't see a plan yet.
I think if Christian would have beat Cena, I think then you would be pushing him up more, you know? And then people would recognize that he is great, quote-unquote. But realistically, his big win was over Alberto Del Rio. He has not beat Randy Orton. And nor is he probably gonna because, you know, Randy Orton is the number two guy for WWE. So I'm a little peeved about this. So.
Well, what do you do? I mean, where do you take him from here? I mean, I don't know. Anyway, so let's just talk about something cool, though. Let's talk about Zack Ryder. He was on NXT. Yep. And he won. That's it. There's nothing else to talk about besides that. NXT, Zack Ryder was on there, and he won. Same thing with Superstars. So let's move on to SmackDown. Will Sin Cara start feuding with someone anytime soon? And who will it be? You got any ideas?
I have no idea. I mean, like, they're teasing Ted DiBiase, and he's been facing him. But normally with a feud, what you do is you have tag matches that lead up to something, or you'll have three-way dances, or you'll have promos and whatnot, then you have a match at the pay-per-view. I don't know who he's going to be feuding with. And I don't know. I think that if you possibly have him in a match at the pay-per-view against Ted DiBiase, the problem is we've already seen it on SmackDown. Why would I want to pay for this? You know, why do I want to see this again when this could be filmed with a better match?
Maybe.
So I don't know.
See, here's what I think that it's going to be Cody Rhodes. I think it's going to be him versus Cody Rhodes, and they're going to have a small feud. And then I think, because the only reason they're pairing those two guys up with, you know, Daniel Bryan and Sin Cara, is because they don't know what to do with them. It's like, oh, crap, there's a show tonight. We got to have Sin Cara. We got to have Daniel Bryan out there. What should we have him do? That's what it's boiling down to now.
Mm-hmm.
It's really ridiculous. They need to get some stuff going. So it's like, you know, Cody Rhodes just beat Daniel Bryan, and they're continuing a feud. But is it Cody Rhodes or is it Ted DiBiase?
Yeah, I don't know. That's the thing. Why not do something with this? I mean, it seems like they don't have a plan. And so they're like, look, did you guys wrestle last week? You know what? Just do it again. Just change it up a little bit, though. You know, and who won last week? Okay, well, you're going to lose this week.
Yeah, it's like, what's going on? I mean, I don't know. It's completely messed up. So anyway, so Christian and Mark Henry, they beat Kane and Randy Orton. And Christian to face Orton, again.
So how many pay-per-views is this? I write down.
Yeah, no, seriously. You're like, okay, so they're facing again? Okay, .. Why? What's the point? This is now, what, the third pay-per-view that they've wrestled? What have you accomplished in the last three pay-per-views? No. Yeah, it's three. This is the third pay-per-view. Is Christian going to win this time? No, he won't.
They need him to.
He should win. That's the thing.
The only way.
But they're not going to, because they have no long-term plans. This is just like, okay, what should we do for the moment? It's like, they should have already who's going to win the Money in the Bank and when they're going to cash in. That should already be figured out, discussed. That's how it is. They should say...
I'm concerned by the booking. The only thing I would say that I'll be nice about is that the World Heavyweight Championship and the WWE title, we already know who they are facing at the pay-per-view. So now you have 3 weeks worth of build-up or 4 weeks worth of build-up. That's good. That's really good. So that's smart. That's going to make me want to buy the pay-per-view. However, though, I've already seen this, you know? So I do want to move on to something that we haven't seen, which is Johnny Curtis.
Johnny Curtis.
Is he a poor man Zack Ryder?
They're trying to make him Zack Ryder. That's what the problem is. Because Zack Ryder is an internet phenomenon right now. He is your WWE internet champion. So now him and Dolph Ziggler are both champions in the WWE. The thing is, go ahead.
So, yeah, but the reason why I'm even asking this is because Ryder was doing these funny videos where, you know, he said, this is a boat. This is Zack Ryder on the boat, and this shovel is the WWE, and then the shovel comes down and it misses the boat, and he says, this is the WWE missing the boat. It's hilarious. That's really funny. And Johnny Curtis, he spilt some milk and he started crying. And then you see him and he put a chip on his shoulder, and he's like, look, I got a chip on my shoulder. And then he's like, look, I got a ace in the hole. And then he had some mustard. He's like, oh, looks like mustard won't cut it. You know, or I can't cut the mustard. You know, like, just something stupid like that. I don't even remember what it was. It was just dumb. It really was. So, is he trying to be like Zack Ryder? Are they trying to do this?
They're copying Zack Ryder. And they come up with something. And they're like, let's do it this week. This is the thing. They have nothing for Johnny Curtis. But he won NXT.
Yeah.
That's what the problem is. There is no long-term plans. And that's what the issue is right now in the WWE. And I actually have an idea on how to fix the WWE, and We'll talk about that some other time. So, but if you want to, but I got some good news. Section 86 will be officially moved over to HostGator by the time, actually, while you're listening to the show. So if you're a blogger or podcaster and you're not happy with the web host, check out HostGator.com. You'll find web hosting made easy and affordable. They offer a limited disk space, bandwidth, and one-click script installs, and a free site builder with an easy control panel. Stop by today and try a free demo out to see how easy it is, and use the coupon code OFFTHEMARK, and you'll save 25% off your hosting packages. What do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite of your hosting cost. Impact Wrestling. Matt Morgan and Crimson beat the tag champs Gun Money. So why did they drop the belts already?
Well, they didn't drop the belts.
No, the belts were on the line. Okay, that's right. Whew.
Yeah. No, but why would you do this? I mean, why have this match in general? What is the point? I mean, are you trying to push Crimson that much, that fast, right down our throats? I actually like Crimson. I think that he could be a force in TNA. I have an issue, though, when you push somebody down my throats. I think that Gunner, they're really pushing Crimson. If you build them up slowly, then mm-hmm. people will start liking them. I think that, like with Zack Ryder, for example, if you push him to the top right away, I would get sick of him and mm-hmm. I wouldn't like him. You have him work his way up, and then he becomes a force.
Exactly. And I think with Crimson getting pushed out, you know, they're just, he's there all the time. I just think they're doing it the wrong way. I think this is what's going to, I think that he's going to end up getting forgotten about. And then someone's going to be like, you know what? I like to beat him. And they're going to be like, okay. So that's what's going to happen, I think. So, but we got some good news. Six Sided Ring is going to be back for Destination X. I'm pumped. I'm so pumped right now. But is it going to be here to stay?
No, it won't be here to stay. It's just going to be for that pay-per-view. But that's good, though. I mean, that's special. That makes it something worthwhile. And so I'm happy about this. I think it's a good idea to bring it back just for that pay-per-view, since they don't want to bring it back long-term.
I like that ring. But yeah, I see why they brought it back, kind of like an Elimination Chamber once a year. Otherwise, it's too much. So anyway, so Daniels versus Joe versus Styles is set for Destination X. Who's pumped?
I am. I think that they've put on 5-star matches before.
Mm-hmm.
They put on some really, really great matches. I mean, that is a very, very good headliner.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited about this.
I'm pumped. I hope they do something. There's going to be something crazy done. And I hope it's something with the muscle. Gosh, I can't think of what's Samoa Joe's finishing move?
The muscle buster.
The muscle buster. And I said that was one of my favorite moves, and I forgot it. And it was, I'd like to see something with that and, I don't know, Angel Wing somehow. You know, just be kind of neat, or the Styles Clash, something along those lines. So anyway, so this is going to put a lot of butts in the seats. It's going to sell some pay-per-view buys. So I'm looking forward to it. Anyway, so Abyss beats Sting via DQ. When Sting wrecks Abyss with a barbed wire glove. Why? I thought we were getting rid of this stuff.
Yeah.
Mick Foley leaves. You thought that, okay, we're not going to have any of this, you know, CZW-style wrestling on Impact Wrestling.
I mean, I don't mind it every now and then, but, you know, this, there was no need for this. And I don't know if they're going to have them feud. I mean, they've feuded before, so, I mean, I guess it's been a few years, so maybe you could have them start feuding. I mean, that's an option, but, you know, Abyss is the X division champion. You need to get that belt off of him, and then you could have these two feud. That's the only way I would see it.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's Impact Wrestling, you know. What can you say?
It's got its merits, you know. Hey, it has good stuff.
At least on Tuesdays, if there's nothing on TV, check them out on Spike TV now. So anyway, so for our weekly topic, we have a wrestling profile. Our second one, and it's EY. Eric Young, his name is Jeremy Fritz. Is that right? Fritz?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I didn't realize this, but he's in the WWE for a short time. I don't remember him.
Yeah, he did a very, very short stint there. And then he, of course, went to TNA. He actually started there as a jobber, and he wanted to get his foot in the door. He was very hungry for mm-hmm. wrestling. And so he went in there, started as a jobber. But he was a fan favorite. Like, everybody loved him. Everybody loved his look and everything. And so it was kind of interesting that, you know, you have this person who starts off, just wants to get his foot in the door, wants to show off what he can do, and then the fans just love him, which is, you know, I mean, that's the way it should be. So, you know, his career, he started off some early feuds with Beer Money and 3 Live Crew. I don't know if you remember them, but
I remember
you know, that,
it.
Okay. You know, of course, that included Ron, the Truth Killing.
Yes.
So, yeah, he had some feuds with them, which was kind of cool. But I think that this is one of your favorite gimmicks, Andy.
Super Eric!
Super Eric, yes. Yep,
I remember that.
He's the superhero.
Yep. And then he feuded with the Main Event Mafia and the band, of course. Of course, then after that, I didn't think there was anything special with that. But then he joined Orlando, Jordan, and they... Yeah, there's nothing much to say about it. If you saw it, you know what we're talking about. It was the weirdest thing going on. Like, very, very weird. Eric Young had to put his no entry sign on. So
it was the weirdest tag team in history. I mean, it was weird. But you know, the Main Event Mafia and the band. I mean, you know, to touch back on that. I mean, that was, you know, with Kevin Nash. I mean, he really he had a feud with them, but they, because of what happened with Scott Hall and his alcoholism, mm-hmm. and the fact that he just wouldn't show up, and so they had to fire him, they had to have Eric Young join the band, so that way they were a formidable group. So they actually had a really stupid storyline a year and a half ago going for him. But I kind of wanted to know now what you kind of thought about EY. I mean, you know, we just went over his career, kind of hit the bullet points. What do you think of him as a wrestler?
I think the fans dig him a lot, and I think he's a good wrestler. He knows what he's doing. He's almost completely polished now. Like, there's some things, you know, no wrestler I think is completely polished unless they've been going for a while. Like, I think the Amazing Red, he was just one of those guys who just got it right away. It's the same thing with Dan O'Brien and, well, Evan Bourne or Matt Sydal, who we want to talk about. But Eric, you know, EY is getting there, and I think that I don't know if you build a company around him, but I think that he would be a great upper mid-card guy. He's a comedy guy, too. He's, you know, there's a lot of comedy in what the stuff he does. He still has the old TNA Heavyweight Championship belt that he wears, which is, I think, hilarious. and he does some, he's done some vignettes that were, it's all comedy. Like, he beat up the guy from Wonder Years for no reason and told Austin Aries to pin him, which I still think is one of the funniest things they've ever put out. And Austin,
that was really funny.
Aries was like, one, two, three. Winner! I thought that was awesome.
And as far as his championships go, I mean, he's a former ex-title winner. He's held the tag titles. He is, at the time of the taping, he is the current TV champion. So, you know, I mean, he's held various championships throughout the company. Where do you see him going? Do you see him holding the World Heavyweight Championship ever?
Well, he has it already.
Do you see him holding the actual?
Oh, the actual one. Okay, that's a different story. No, I don't see him doing that. And there's nothing against him. I don't think that you can build everyone around him as a champion. Not in Impact. Maybe somewhere else you could do it, but not in Impact yet. But he's close. I think that, you know, another year or two, he's going to be great, great in the ring. I can't wait to see what's going to happen with him. And plus, he's still there. Everyone loves him. If he was to leave Impact Wrestling in all seriousness, I think you'd lose some fans. That's one thing I can say. I don't think you'll lose a lot of fans, but you'll lose some of them, and some of the hardcore fans will be upset, especially if it's for something completely, you know, wrong.
Yeah. Now, where would you like to see him, though? I mean, you know, we talked about where you kind of see him. Where would, if, like, you were running TNA, where would you have Eric Young? Would you have him on every show? Would you have him on the majority of shows?
He would have to make an appearance, at least. At least do something. If he's not wrestling, have him do something funny backstage. Like he did a couple weeks ago with him and Austin Aries. I mean, something like that. If they were to do that, that's fine. That's exactly what he can do. He doesn't need to be on every week. Maybe, like, if you have four shows a month, he's on three of them, and then one of them is just backstage vignette.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, and, you know, I agree with you, too. I think that Eric Young is that type of guy. I mean, you think about old WWF. You know, people are going to remember the big ones, of course. But you're going to remember some of the other guys, too, like the Legion of Doom. You know, you're going to remember, like, the Junkyard Dog or George the Animal Steel. You're going to remember some of these people who stick out in your mind, but they never – you know, like, George the Animal Steel was not a World Heavyweight Champion, you know. You think about a really good example is Jimmy Superfly Snuka.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think about him, never held the title.
Piper.
But Piper, another really good one. You think about that. However, though, they were very, very big in helping WWF grow, and I think Eric Young is one of those guys that can help TNA grow.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he's that comedy relief, but not in the over-the-top Santino way.
No.
He's the comedy relief where he actually is it's smart comedy. It's more grown up. And that's the thing I like about it.
He reminds me of like Colt Cabana. Like, Colt Cabana does a lot of comedy in his act, but he also shows the wrestling ability as well. You know, that's how EY is. And I think you need a couple of those guys in your company because you need some comedy in there. You can't just be all serious like the WWE has been lately. They need to have some comic relief. That's why I always say that it's Colt Cabana or Scotty Goldman, whatever he was in the WWE. I think that you need someone there to, when, especially if there's something big that just happened. You know, the WWE likes to do this thing where they bring out, you know, a couple of nobodies and wrestle, or they'll have a Divas match when there was like high tension. Because, you know, you need to, you don't want fans ticked off. And see, EY does a good job of getting people laughing and happy. And yeah, I'm glad to see
it. So I would say, you know, for Second Wrestling Profile, you know, we talked about Zack Ryder first. We're talking about EY now. I think that, you know, I could see some really good things from him. You know, I think that he can make some memorable moments, and, you know, he doesn't have to be a champion.
No, he doesn't have to be. He can have his WrestleMania moment without ever having to go to WrestleMania. Kind of like Sting. So, anyway, so that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at OffTheMic86. I want to thank Section 86 and 86 Production for hosting and editing the podcast, and I want to thank the listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.